So as you likely remember, the provincial government took the controversial decision to pause renewable energy project approvals in Alberta for several months because they wanted to do some work in assessing, well, a few different things. The impact that these projects have on the province in a couple of ways. Land use, environmental impact, cleanup, those sorts of things. They asked the Alberta Utilities Commission to prepare a report into the matter, and that report was delivered back at the end of January. At the end of February, the province announced the new rules. You remember that? The big ones, no wind or solar usable on prime farmland, unless you can prove that livestock and crops can still thrive on that land at the same time as the renewable project is there. Buffer zones of 35 kilometers surrounding protected areas and something called viewscapes. And if you take a look at the way that mapping works out, most of southern Alberta is off limits. Not all, but most. And they also wanted money up front to cover the cost of cleanup. So last week, we saw that the report the province had commissioned had been released. Shows the government might have been trying to solve a problem that, according to this report at least, doesn't seem to exist, at least not in a big, big way. People want to know, well, then why were these decisions made? And that includes Paul McLaughlin. He's the president of the Rural Municipalities Association of Alberta, and he joins us now. Paul, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Were you surprised when you saw the findings of the Alberta Utilities Commission report when we saw it last week?
Well, you know, in many ways, it's not too surprising, and we're happy with the majority of what was found in the AUC report. It really looked at making some discretionary decision-making, understanding that we need to look at these bigger conversations related to agriculture, and I think that for the most part, this report really hits some of the key points that we have. In fact, some of it actually almost verbatim comes from some of the reports that we made as RMA.
Okay, so yeah, your RMA, Rural Municipalities of Alberta, so you'd be the people that sort of are dealing with some of these issues. When it comes to farmland, this report says that these projects rarely, if ever, are situated on prime farmland. And even if it was, it would occupy 1% of prime farmland 15 years from now. This is in 2041, so 17 years from now. They say it might amount to 1%. Now, to me, that doesn't sound like a problem. As somebody dealing with these municipalities in rural Alberta, what do you make of that?
Well, you know, and the core solution that we've been advocating for is having who are the experts in municipal land planning and rural municipalities, having that rural voice and having our administrative processes involved. The reason why I say that is that undeniably, I'm not going to argue that it's less than a percent. It's really nuanced around the conversation of what are the alternative land uses. And I think that it becomes more of a question as opposed to a rule. And I think that it's important that I think that what should come out of this is putting the onus on the developer to show alternative land uses and have that discussion. Municipalities do that on a daily basis. That was missing from the AUC process, and that's really what we've been championing all along.
And I've heard from a number of people in rural Alberta, specifically around these large projects, and the concerns are legitimate, right? Like, even if you say it's 1%, in total, that's still a lot of land, and there are people that are affected by this, so it's a legitimate concern.
It is 100%, and you know the stark reality is look at the year we're going into. We've got a hotter, drier future. We need more arable land, not less. And you know, folks in rural Alberta, we know where the productive land and where it's not. Everybody knows what their neighbor's doing. Every single thing I do on my land, my neighbors definitely know what I'm doing. So it's important to understand that. And some of these projects, you know, the reality is it's 8 square kilometers. There's not a lot of projects in the province of Alberta that can be 8 square kilometers, and that's what some of these projects are, which are significant projects in any jurisdiction across the world.
Oh, absolutely, they would be for sure. In this report, they talk about some things, and I know some of the feedback and some of the responses being it's kind of subjective. Like when we talk about viewscapes and we talk about protected areas, I don't know if anybody knows with 100% certainty what those are, where those are, how they'll be affected. Are you confident that we have a good enough understanding of what these new rules will actually mean?
Well, you know, there has been provision for visual impact assessments. The industry has been doing it for a while to address, you know, local landowner concerns. So this has been part of the process. And I think that incorporating that assessment as sort of a requirement in these areas, I think the conversation around no-go, it was no-go with a provision that you should be able to prove otherwise. But beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Visual impacts is a very subjective, very complex thing to do. I think wind turbines are beautiful. Some people don't. And so that discussion becomes quite complex. You know, I've traveled around this planet. You know, the one thing that we really probably don't protect enough is our viewscapes. And I do think that it was interesting. And the EUC report was they actually were asking to apply equally this restriction on all areas, not just electricity generation, to really look at protecting our viewscapes on all developments within those viewscapes, which was an interesting piece that came out of EUC as well.
Yeah, and I think that's an important distinction to make because a lot of people look at it and say, well, wait a minute, we don't have a lot of these rules in place for, like you say, other industry, oh, like oil and gas, for example. So some people say that they don't think it's necessarily fair. Did this solve the problems that were there? First of all, how big were the problems that were there? And I know you're really pleased that municipalities now have a seat at the table. That was a big ask from all municipalities in Alberta. They want to be part of the approval process, and that's been added, which I think is very positive. But do you think in terms of how big of a problem needed to be solved, and does this do it?
Well, I think it does. You know, putting the onus on the developer is an important part of the conversation. You know, the biggest thing for us was wanting to be at the table and have those public discourse discussions around these projects. It was the Wild West, and I know people are going to disagree with me. There is one project turned down out of all the projects that went out there. I, as a municipal leader, I turn down projects on a regular basis based upon community values and community needs and that long strategic land use planning that we have. So, you know, I think we're there. I think that hopefully industry realizes they can read between the lines. We need to find some standards and some rules. One of our biggest problems was the reclamation restoration piece. That was a piece that we picked up. And because there was no oversight on those, it was the Trust Me deal.
Yeah.
And the one thing that people need to understand is these projects have been transferred from owner to owner to owner. I talked to a lady just recently. She's on her fifth owner. So we have some concern. If you're transferring these projects from owner to owner, who owns the liability at the end of the day? And as you know, we've lived the dream with oil and gas. We want to make sure that we're correcting this industry. And trust me, we're still laying the pressure on oil and gas. We need to fix that problem too as well.
And you make a really good point. I mean, now you're going after oil and gas and you're going to have to go after some renewable projects. But going forward, the money should be there. I don't know if it'll be an escrow or whatever the case is going to be, but that's part of the approval process now. There has to be some sort of surety there, some security that there's going to be money to clean up and to reclaim, as you say.
For sure, yeah. Up till now, it was the hold my beer, we got this.
Yeah.
But no one saw it. Reclamation restoration are hidden within the agreements between the landowner and the developer, and those are all under a non-disclosure agreement. So those are not visible externally to anybody outside of that relationship.
And this problem with the new rules, that's gone, right? But now there's not only do you have a chance to be part of the negotiation process, but you know there'll be some security up front to make sure that that job gets done.
Exactly. And I think it's a simple fix, and I think we'll be able to get there. I've been hearing back from the industry. They respect that. They understand that, and they're prepared to take that on too as well.
Sounds positive. Good news. Great. Thanks, Paul. I really appreciate your time.
Appreciate the chat. Have a great day.
You too. Paul McLaughlin, president of the Rural Municipalities of Alberta. Good guy, joins us quite regularly. So there you go. And I think, you know what, there are some things that make a lot of sense. It's pretty tough to argue with the fact that the province has said, okay, listen, we're worried about reclaiming the land and, you know, and all the rest of it. So we want some financial security up front. You're going to have to put some kind of money forward so that we know there's money available to, you know, reclaim the land when this project has, you know, exhausted its lifespan. That makes a tremendous amount of sense. And like Paul said, it would have been really good, really smart if we had done the exact same thing around oil and gas installations way back when, but we didn't. And now you know the mess that's there and the amount of outstanding money and outstanding wells. And I mean, it's an absolute disaster in this province. And we haven't been able to get a handle on it yet, but billions and billions of dollars are being proposed to try and deal with it. So this removes that problem. Really, really smart. I like the fact that the province has said, hey, listen, the municipalities that are affected by this, they deserve to have a voice. They've been advocating for that for a long, long time, saying if you're going to have an approval process when it comes to land use, we are the municipalities that, you know, are affected, and we can speak on behalf of the municipalities and other people in the area, so we deserve to have a seat at the table. They've got that now. That makes a lot of sense. That's part of the new rules that come in. The other ones, I think, are going to be a little bit trickier, right? Like this viewscapes thing, this, you know, it's... you know, places that look pretty, basically, is what it comes down to. And as Paul said, who decides that, right? To him, a wind farm installation isn't necessarily a bad thing to look at. To other people, you know, it's the worst. So ultimately, who decides that? I think there's a little bit of, there has to be, because someone's going to have to make that determination, and maybe their sensibilities will be very, very different from yours. And then what do we do? Then have we created another problem? The premier talks about, you know, whenever she's asked about this, like, you know, why do we need to? She says, well, we shouldn't have giant renewable energy projects, you know, blocking our view of our UNESCO World Heritage sites. Now, I don't think anybody's proposing that. I haven't heard of it. If they are, please send me the case. But we only have six of those. We have six of those in the province of Alberta. This is according to Travel Alberta's website. Half of them are located in national parks. So you don't need to worry about those. That's not her bailiwick either. That's the feds would deal with that. The other three, Dinosaur Park, head smashed in buffalo, jump riding on stone. Absolutely, they should be protected. 100%. I couldn't agree more. But that does leave a lot of other province, right? So hopefully there's some way that we come up where it doesn't just seem like an arbitrary, because I think there's a lot of people out there that feel this is punitive to renewables when we're not doing the same thing on oil and gas. And I think you could absolutely make a case for that, right? Now, maybe it's, hey, we learned from the disaster that is oil and gas and well cleanups and all the rest, and we're not going to let that happen again. Now, that would be smart. That'd be a position that I could support. But there's a little bit of ambiguity in there that I think is going to, that's where it's going to become an issue, if an issue does develop around this.